Hey, welcome back, everybody. It is wonderful to see everyone. So this last week we had a great opportunity, and that was that on Tuesday there was a large hurricane, which moved up the coast and knocked out a lot of electricity and knocked out a lot of trees, and we in our neck of the woods as well had a whole lot of trees that were suddenly out of the count. And it became pretty clear after the storm that the worst amount of damage since Sandy, all the way back 8 years ago. So it was very clear that that the Eruv was out. And as we know, we were our Eruv team worked continuously for a large amount of time. They realized they weren't going to be able to fix it by Shabbos, so they made a stopgap measure where they sliced the Eruv in half across Broadway. And then what happened was that after all of this was said and done, they managed literally in the last minutes just before Shabbos started to be able to reconstitute the Eruv. So it was pretty miraculous, which gave us the opportunity to really think about Eruv, to appreciate Eruv in our lives. And I think it was the best possible outcome. We got a chance to think about Eruv, but at the same time, there weren't people who were compromised by not realizing how serious this was, and God forbid, being Mechallel Shabbos. So that was our opportunity. Now, I think we can't leave an opportunity like that unturned. We can't look past that and say, well, that just happened. Let's try to appreciate what actually went on and learn from it, learn a little bit from that experience. So what we're going to do is we're going to spend a little bit of time learning a little bit about the Eruv as it applies to the private domain. So let's take a quick look at this. I did share the screen with folks beforehand, but in case you didn't, this is where the focus is going to be, called My Yard in the Eruv. And I want to start off by thanking Nat and Tova Farago, who are sponsoring today's share in memory of Nat's sister Aliyah Shalom Rivka Sara Bas Moshe, and Tova's in memory of Tova's father Avram Ben Simcha Alav Hashalom, and in memory of Mr. Eugene Gluck. This is the first yahrzeit, Olav Shalom, Yehuda ben Yoshua, Be'ezos Hashem, should be Aliyas Hashem for him, and Chizuk for both of the Mishpachos. Also would like to thank Marilyn and Elliot Lauer, who are sponsoring today's share for the yahrzeit of Marilyn's father, Dr. Edward Steinberg, Yehuda Leib ben Yitzhak Gedalia, Baruch Hashem has many namesakes now, and also Le'ilu Nishmas Shalom Huberfeld's grandmother, Sarah Bas Yosef, Nishmasa Aden. God willing, we should have the opportunity of continuing to share Torah in this way for many, many years to come, and they should continue to get nachas from the respective mishpachos. So here's what I'd like to talk about just briefly, folks, and it's as follows. And that is that what I guess the main focus is like this. If we were to be in an Eruv outage, which a lot of Lawrence was until literally about an hour before Shabbos on Friday, what would that mean practically? So most people say, well, at least so I won't carry things to shul. But the question really is what does that mean to me on my own property? And this is the focus. There's so many aspects of Eruv which are worth talking about, but this particular issue is extremely significant. So here we go. Let's take a look at this. Let's appreciate what's going on over here. So just to understand how this works, what I'm going to do is I'm going to focus on a particular aspect of this, which is what is the actual nature of my private domain? What's the nature of my property, and how does that operate? Because this is a very, very fascinating and lesser known this area in halacha. And in fact, this discussion over here is not really about Eruv per se. It's about the concept of Rishus HaYachid, of the private domain. What is the Rishus HaYachid? So we actually have a little bit of a misnomer, and the misnomer is leading from the fact that the notion of private property today. So legally speaking, this is from the Cornell Business Law School. It describes, this is the definition: private property is a property owned by private parties, essentially anyone or anything other than government. Private property may consist of real estate, buildings, objects, intellectual property, for example, copyrights or patents. So that's one of the definitions for private property in very general terms. Obviously, there's many more details. So with that definition, it would lead us to think that because I have the mortgage, I have a mortgage, I have a title deed for my property, Therefore, anywhere on my property I may be, I should be allowed to move around, to carry, because it is a Rishus HaYachid. However, that's not entirely true, because the word Rishus HaYachid is not equivalent with the notion of legal private property today. So as an example, let's take a look at this Rambam, which defines the four Rishios of Shabbos, the four different domains of Shabbos. And keep in mind, what are the differences? What are the differences between our notion of Rishus HaYachid and the legal notion of private property? Because this is essential to understanding how this works. Here's what the Rambam says. Arba Rishios HaShabbos. The Rambam says there are four domains when it comes to Shabbos. HaRishus HaYachid, there is a private domain. Rishus HaRabim, the public domain. Karmelis, that's kind of an in-between, right? Where it's not surrounded by mechitzos, but it is not sufficiently trafficked enough to be a Rishus HaRabim. And Makom Petur. We're not going to talk about the Makom Petur. Yeah, sort of an in-between as well. Ezahu Rishus HaRabim. So what is the Rishus HaRabim? Midborois, Ayorois, Shavakim, Drachim, Ufuloshim, Lohem. So main thoroughfares, main areas where people traverse, the marketplaces, the main roads, all of these places are Rishus HaRabim. Ubevaji Eroicha, Vaderech, Sheshesre Amo, Veloye Olav Tikra. It cannot be roofed, and it has to be at least 16 amos wide. Where is the Rishus HaYachid? This is what's important to us. What is the Rishus HaYachid, a private domain? Tel Shigavoya Asar Tvachim. Let's say you have a mound, which is, or a pillar, which is 10 Tvachim high, Rochav Arba Tvachim al Arba Tvachim, and it has a 4x4 Tefach on top of it. That's roughly, let's say, 13 by 13 inches, right? So not a very large space. Or Yeser Al Kain, any space bigger than that. V'chein Chorit Shu Omak Asar V'Rochav Arba al Arba. Let's say I have a ditch, which is 10 Tvachim deep, and it has a footprint of 4x4 Tvachim. More than that. V'chein Mokom Shu Mukav Arba Mechitzos. Let's say I have an area which is surrounded by four barriers. Gavon Asara, that each of those barriers is 10 Tvachim. Uveneim Arba Alba, and the very minimum footprint is 4x4 Tvachim, or Yeser Al Ken, or more than that. Avilu Yesh by million, even if it has many miles inside of it, or kilometers. Im Hukav Ladira Kagoin Medina, Mukefas Choma, Shedal Sel Sel Nin Ores Balaila, Mavoy Shesh Lime, Shaj Ksolim, Velechi Barach Revia, Sechen Chotzer Adir. Of a dir v'sahar. So the Rambam says that I can have, as long as it's surrounded by walls, it's encompassed, circumscribed by walls, it can even be a city, it can even be a country if it's circumscribed by walls, it can be considered a Rishus HaYachid. Fascinating. So according to this definition of Rishus HaYachid, is the way the Rambam explains it, what are the essential differences between the notion of private property we have today and the notion of Rishus HaYachid when it comes to the domain of Shabbos? So the two key differences that I would like to suggest over here is ownership and being circumscribed. So ownership, let's understand this. When it comes to private property, the most important thing when it comes to Western society's private property is I own it and you don't get off it, right? So that's really the most important thing when it comes to it. So therefore, whether or not you see any barriers, this is my property, and take your foot off my grass, right? That's what it comes to private property. Rishus HaYachid, if you notice the Rambam, does not need to be owned by any particular individual. In fact, it could be a medina hamukeves chama. So it could be an entire city, an entire state, if it has a sufficient walls. Similarly, on the opposite side, for a Rishus HaYachid, it needs to be circumscribed. It needs to be surrounded by barriers. Those barriers could even be, as the Rambam described, let's say it's a mound sticking up out of the Rishus HaRabim and the walls around it leading up, or a ditch down, or walls, but it has to be circumscribed. Whereas, when it comes to private property, in the legal definition, it does not need to have walls to be my private property. I can own it, I can have the deed to it, I can demand legal rights, I can demand your ejection from my property, even if it does not have walls. So that leads us to a fascinating problem. And that is what about our private property? Let's take a look at, according to the Rambam, what do some examples be? So let's say, as an example, a stadium, right? So you have to say you have a stadium which is fully encased. That would be considered a Rishus HaYachid, a building, an apartment building, a house, the house itself, a telephone booth, right? Those are things that used to have telephones in them, and that was when you needed a telephone which is connected to a wire. A car, as an example. All of these places would be considered a Rishus HaYachid. Why? Because it is circumscribed. I was asked an interesting shaila on Erev Shabbos, among many. So somebody has a large backyard, and the backyard is sparsely walled in, so it really does not have sufficient grounds to be considered a Rishus Hayachid. But it has a tennis court, and the tennis court is surrounded by fences on all four sides. So the question became is the tennis court a Rishus Hayachid? And the answer is yes. What that would mean is that let's say the person, for an example, would want to read on their tennis court on Shabbos, they would be able to leave their books on the tennis court, or even if they wanted, let's say, to play a game of tennis on Shabbos and leave the tennis rackets and the balls now go moving away from whether that's appropriate on Shabbos. But nonetheless, that would technically be allowed. You're allowed to move around on the tennis court. You're not allowed to take things out of that tennis court because the rest of the property is not sufficiently surrounded to be considered a Rishus Hayachid, but that tennis court would be considered a Rishus Hayachid. So these are examples of something which, according to Halacha, would be considered a Rishus Hayachid. The main issue that we're going to contend with is the yard, because the yard in America certainly is not something which is circumscribed. That's going to be our issue. So let's talk a little bit about details. What about height and strength? So like when we talked about this notion of a mechitza, of a barrier. So what kind of barrier are we talking about? So the way the Rambam talks about it in Mishnah Torah, he says, "Kol mechitza she'eni yochola la'amod beruach metzuya ena mechitza." If your barrier cannot withstand a regular wind, right? So let's say you hang a sheet up, right? And you pin it to you pin it to the trees, you pin it to a wire, and it blows in the wind. That is not going to be a mechitza. And it's not made to be able to rest things on, meaning to say, can't hold up anything, it's not a mechitza. Okay, well, a different discussion about what a mechitza tznius is. If it does not have 10 tvachim, at least, it is not a mechitza. And gidud mechitza chamisha mitzarfim. If I have, let's say, this happens quite frequently. Let's say my yard is at a different level to my neighbor's yard. So there's a, so to speak, a retainer wall of, let's say, 5 tvachim, right? So it's about, you know, let's say 20 inches retainer wall. That's not sufficient to be considered a 10 tvachim, which is roughly around 36, 37, 38 inches, depending on who we're going with. But let's say 36 inches. So let's say 20 of those inches of this retainer wall down to the next yard. And I then put another 20 inches of fence up. Those two can join to one another, which is that's in terms of the height and the strength of it. What about the proximity to the ground? How close does it need to be? So the Gemishna tells us in Sukkah, on Tav Tes Zayin, HaMishel Shel Defonos Milamala Lamata. Let's say I unfurl my walls of my sukkah downwards from the top to the bottom. Im gavoyim in aretz shloisha tvachim pesula. If there's a gap below the bottom edge of my mechitzos, of my sukkah walls to the ground, 3 tvachim, it's possible. The mechitzos need to be within 3 tvachim of the ground in order for them to operate as a mechitza. So it would not be sufficient that they're high, even if they're fabulous mechitzas, if they're not actually within 3 tvachim of the ground itself. What about a material? So what can they be made of? So the Rambam tells us, Kol ba'kol oisim mechitza ben bekelim, ben ba'ochlim, ben ba'odom, afilu ba'hema o'shar minei chaya v'oif, v'ushiyo kufusim kedei shlo yonudu. The Rambam says it can be made of anything. It can be made of vessels, food, people, beasts, fowls, anything which is not going to move around. So the question that is often raised is, and the most practical case, is what about trees? You know, so let's say I have a backyard, I have a beautiful backyard, and it's got lots of trees around it. It looks very beautiful. Okay, but can I use those mechitzos for Shabbos? So actually, I didn't have a chance to put this in, but the Rambam the Shulchan Aruch talks about this explicitly in the first sif of Shin Samach Beis in Orach Chaim, and the Shulchan Aruch says, just to add an interesting line over here, he says, what about trees? So according to the Rambam rule, trees should be sufficient. That's absolutely true. But the Rambam says, the Shulchan Aruch says, Vush Yemale Ha'ever Shebein Ha'anofim. Oh yeah, he says, Ilan, Shanof of Yordim Lamato. Let's say I have a tree that its branches descend downwards, right? So we're not talking about a trunk and the leaves up there. But the leaves descend down, and sometimes you have a canopy of leaves. Let's say you have a tree where the leaves come out even from the bottom. If there's no gap, again, same rule is here, of three tvachim and those leaves to the ground, and they're attached to the tree, and it's above 10 tvachim, you can really move within that. That creates a boundary. Two conditions. He says, oftentimes when you have trees, I should have included one of the shilas that somebody sent me on Friday as a picture. But let's say I have trees next to each other. Oftentimes there'll be gaps. So I need to fill those gaps in, right? And also ensure the tree's not going to move in the wind. If it's going to be flapping in the wind, then it comes back to the previous idea that that's not considered a sufficient mechitza. Okay, how big the gap is, we'll get to in just a second. But anyways, that seems to be it over here. Now that's a very common shilah. Let's take a look at this. What about slopes, by the way, before we get there? What about slopes? Fascinating description here. So tail hamislaket. Let's say I have a mound which moves upwards. Govoya asar tvachim. And if you were to actually measure the height of that mound from the ground, it would be sufficiently 10 tvachim. He says, but it goes up gradually. Right, so the movement is es asar tvachim mitoch orech abar amos. So if the gradient is that I have 10 tvachim achieved over the space of 4 amos in length, that would be considered a wall sufficient to be able to consider a shisa yachid, and it would have its own domain. So I just took a look at the ratios here for a second. How many tefachim, how many hand breadths are there in a amma? Generally speaking, we assume there are 6. And if it is 4 ammas, 4 times 6 is 24 tefachim. So that means to say that the ratio of this slope, in order to be considered a barrier, needs to be that over the span of 24 tefachim, it rises 10 tefachim, which is a ratio of 10 to 24, which is about essentially 41.7% incline, which is a 22.6 degree incline. Okay, so if I have anything which has an incline which is anything above 22.64, that would constitute a Rosh HaZayachet. So as an example, if you take a look at a hill, even though it doesn't have, we'll call it perpendicular mechitzas, if there were to be sufficient gradient of above a degree of 22 degree angle, then that would be considered a wall on either side, even though they aren't perpendicular walls. Where this happens, and where this is relevant, by the way, is a lot of time when it comes to rivers. If a river is acting as a boundary or the sea, you would have to work out the gradient of the drop on the riverbed in order for this to act as a mechitza. This is when it is important. What about extensions? So these are physical mechitzas, but there are certain elements which are not seen, meaning to say that there are certain halachic constructs which allow a mechitza to operate even when you can't see it. So we're going to look at a few examples. One is a notion of what's called good asik. This is a halacha which is very important, and the Shulchan Aruch tells us avir rishus hayachid, the airspace of a private domain, rishus hayachid al rakia, it ascends all the way up to the sky, as opposed to a public domain which is only 10 tvachim tall. But when it comes to a private domain, rishus hayachid, that ultimately ascends to the heavens. So this is the notion of what's called, this is one expression of this notion, what's called good asik mechitza, which means that a mechitza can actually ascend upwards, even though you don't see it there. So let's take an example. Let's say I have a patio like this, as an example, right? So I have a porch, but let's say it's not circumscribed by mechitzos, as an example. So it does not have railings around it. Now, you should have railings. That's a halacha of ma'akeh if it's more than 10 tefachim. But let's assume it doesn't. And let's say that the amount of space from the edge of the deck down to the ground is 10 tefachim. It's more than 36 inches high. In this case, although the mechitzos are not above the ground, they're below the ground, we saw in the Rambam that even if the mechitzos are below the edge of the perimeter of the surface I'm looking at, that is sufficient. So this particular platform would be considered a rishus hayachid. I would be able to leave my key here. I'd be able to carry from my house into this area over here. This would be considered its own rishus hayachid. And here's the interesting thing, is that I would be able to carry all around any space within this, even though there's no railings around this. Why? Because we say good asik mechitza, which means that the mechitza over here, which is the below the surface of that deck or that patio, would go upwards all the way to the sky. That's considered one example of it. What about another example? Let's say there's washing hanging in my yard, and the washing line, who remembers washing lines? I grew up with them. But let's say you have a washing line which is above the height of the fence in your yard. And let's say it's dry and you forgot to, and it wasn't drying on Shabbos, and you want to take that off the washing line. So you say, but wait a second, the washing is higher than the fence. That's not a problem. The reason why it's not a problem is because ultimately the mechitzos, even though they may only be, let's say, 5 feet, right, in the village of Lawrence, you're not allowed to have fences which are more than 5 feet if they're next to your neighbor. At the back, for some reason, 6 is the rule. But they arbitrarily 5 feet for the sides. So let's say I have my 5 feet fence on the side of my property, and I have my Washington line, which is 6 feet. I'm allowed to take the washing off that line in my own yard. Why? Even though it's below the height of the mechitza, because good asik mechitza, the mechitza goes all the way up to the heavens, and therefore we don't have to say that it's not the correct thing. Similarly, let's say I'm on top of the roof of an enclosure. So let's say I have a room, I have a building, and on top of it there is a flat roof. Now, generally speaking, there's a halacha called ma'akeh, right, that you're supposed to make a fence for such things. But let's say you don't have a fence for such things. In such an instance, we would say good asik mechitza, that the mechitzas would actually ascend to the heavens, and you'd be able to be metaltel, you'd be able to walk around and carry on top of the rishus hayachid, because the rishus hayachid goes up to the heavens. That's all assuming that there is no overhang which would now project, which would prevent the mechitzas from ascending upwards. Okay, so this is what we're talking about when it's flash in such an instance. Okay, so this is one example where you have a boundary which is not a physical boundary, but the physical boundary is essentially continuing halachically upwards. That's one notion where we have this. What about another idea? Here we are. The notion of good achis. Good achis is the opposite. Good asik was when the mechitza goes upwards. What about good achis when it goes downwards? He has the example. The Rambam says in Mishnah Torah, he says ketzotzra. Let's have a balcony shilamala minayam. So my balcony not only overlooks, it projects over the sea, over the river, and there is a window in it, al gabi amayim, above the water. Ein memalin mimenu b'shabbos, ela im kein, osu mechitza gavoya asora tfochim al gabi amayim keneged achalon shebechad tzotzra. I may not take out of my window a bucket on a string and lower it into the ocean or the river and pull it up. Why? Because the ocean or the river at this point, the assumption is not considered part of the Rishus HaYachid. And if that be the case, I may not take the water out of it into my Rishus HaYachid, unless I have an area, let's say I have now built for myself a 10 tefach fence or circumscribed area around, let's say, the window downwards, even if it doesn't reach the water. I've created the mechitzos over here in this case over here. He's a tia mechitzos, the oredes because it's so serious. Keneged amayim, roinos akilu yard of a noga adamayim. We see it descending to the water itself. Now this is interesting because this is dissimilar to when, let's have a mechitzos on earth and it doesn't reach the ground. That's not sufficient. But in this case, we can project it downwards. Another example of this is let's say I have mechitzos and underneath the mechitzos I have a river. Which runs. There's a whole discussion as to reducing the mechitza, good achis, reducing it down to below the ground. Another example, very famous example, what's called lovewood. People make fun of this because they don't understand this halacha. It's important to be educated rather than to make fun of things we don't understand. So the Gemara tells us on Shabbos, it tells us many places, there's a discussion as to where this conversation happened between Rav Chista or Rav Amnuna. And how do we know this? Anything which is less than three tefachim, kolavadomi amalei, levishi iyashalal lishus harabim shetilaket b'mlaket nerahiti. Now he says because it's impossible for the public domain to be made level with plains. So meaning to say that there's a certain notion that within three tefachim of one another, then we consider that to be fenced in. So here's the way I like to sort of think about this idea of lovewood. People kind of say, three tvachim, it's kind of like, you know, halachic loophole. Here's the way I like to put it. Is this wooden structure over here, is this a fence? Is this a mechitza? Is this sufficient to circumscribe one's property? And the answer is absolutely. Rabbi, that's a fence.
It's hard to see what you're posting.
I'm not sure what I should say, Debbie. What can't you see?
I can see you, and then I just see like a screen that shows.
You need a second. You need a second computer because the thing is coming on a different website. I figured that out during the course. So
okay.
you think the rabbi on the regular Zoom address, but you go to your email. If you have another iPhone or an iPad, the last email from the shul has a swayoffice.com. If you go on that, you'll be able to see all the pictures.
You can't. You cannot see what I'm doing right now.
No. See now. Now we can. Now I see Paul. Yeah. Right. I see that now. But I see. I guess Paul on the picture. Okay. But I see the fence now.
Okay. Yes. So let's move from the fence. Okay.
Yeah. Now it's good. Now it's good. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you. If it stops sharing again, let me know. Okay. So let's take a look at this. So this fence, I assume everybody would say is a mechitza, right? Everybody would say this is sufficient. This is a nice, very solid fence here, right? So let me ask you the question like this. What about this? What about these poles, right? So besides the graffiti, like I have a whole bunch of poles. One, you know, and then another one. Is that a fence? So you say, well, I don't know. They're in a line, right? But I can kind of get through there, right? That's not a very efficient fence. So I don't know. What about this? So let's say, well, how about this? What happens if I drive a number of stakes into the ground, right? And I put them one next to each other. So is that a fence? You understand? So the question really is what creates a fence? What creates a fence? I know when they're right next to each other they are, but what happens when they're distant from each other? How distant must they be? What the Gemara tells us, the Halacha Lomir and Moshe Mesinai is, if I have something which is a lavud, which I have three tvachim from one another, that's considered a fence. Meaning to say, you have to be able to know. There's obviously a moment in time when it moves from being separate poles to being a fence. That makes sense. All Halacha is saying, Halacha Moshe Mesinai is within three tvachim, that becomes a fence. So therefore, when I look at a white picket fence, of course that's a fence. But why should that be a fence? How far do the pickets have to be from one another to be considered a fence? That's a question. That's what Halacha is addressing over here. Halacha is simply addressing the following question is, what is the distance necessary to create to create proximity? And this, by the way, can work vertically or horizontally. Okay, so this can be whether it's there are poles next to each other, or whether there are poles shesiv arev, as the Gemara would describe it, or let's say a number of barriers within a certain degree of proximity to one another. If they're within three tvachim, that would be considered sufficient. Again, we're working with a 3.5-inch Rav Moshe Feinstein tefach, right? So you can imagine we're talking about just over a 10-inch gap in order for this to work. You know, when we're putting together a sukkah, as an example, when you put together a sukkah and, you know, you have those lavud straps, it's not just a magical incantation. What essentially you're doing is you're creating a fence around the bottom area for the bottom 10 tvachim of your sukkah, just in case the walls flap, according to the Chazon Ish, that it's not sufficient to be considered a fence. So that's important. One of the reasons it's important is that, let's say we're talking about a chicken net fencing or a metal fencing like this. So if you actually look at this fence, most of it is actually air, right? I mean, you say if I take a sum total of surface area versus air, air is certainly predominant. The reason why this is sufficient as a halachic mechitza, I'm not really concerned about legal divisions right now. Let's consider, is this a fence in halacha? And the answer is, it is. Why? Because every gap, so to speak, is within three tachim of one another, and this is sufficient to be considered a halachic barrier and division, which is very noga in many such situations. Where it is not sufficient is, let's say, in our backyard, I should have put in a picture. Let's say you have the old style, you know, you have a wooden peg and a wooden peg, you know, and one beam and one beam. That's not a fence, right? Because again, it fails the test of those cross beams, the horizontal beams being within a close enough proximity to one another. Okay, so that's the notion of lavud. Okay, so now, here's where it gets interesting. What about gaps? And this is very much applicable to our backyard. So, what happens if I have gaps within my fence? I have gaps between my trees. Does that invalidate my mechitza of my backyard in this case? So the Rambam says, "Kol mechitza shiyesh bo parutz meruba al ha'omed en mechitza." Let's say I have a fence, and there's more holes in it than there are it. Right. So that's that in that case is not a mechitza. Okay, so if I have a gap here, a gap there, a gap there, it doesn't work. Avimaya parutzka oimed hare zumuteris. If it was equidistant, so let's say I have a board, a gap, a board, a gap, a board, a gap, in such a situation, that would be considered a mechitza sufficiently. As long as I don't have a gap more than 10 amos. What is 10 amos? Lechumra, Rav Chaim Noah is about 15 feet. Rav Moshe Feinstein about 17 to 18 feet. That's what Rav Ribiat works with in his Sefer. So as long as I have gaps which are less than 15 feet gaps, and as long as the amount, if I measure an entire side of my yard and it has more total, so to speak, fill-ins than it has the gaps, as long as each of those gaps is not more than 10 amos, 15 feet, I am all right. That would be the way it works. Now, that seems to be pretty simple then, right? Not so fast, right? So, by the way, I'd want to just take a moment to thank Rav Gavriel Bechofer, who wrote an incredible Sefer on Eruvin, for his gracious time when I spent a little bit of time just reviewing some of these halachas on Friday under the gun. We had to make a lot of decisions. And a lot of this is very, very worthwhile to look at. A lot of this is in Siman Shin Samach Beis and Shin Samach Gimel in Shulchan Aruch and in the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Prakim Yud Dalet to Yud Zayin. Okay, this is where all of this is found. It's worthwhile reading through it itself. Now, so there's the reason why this is a little more complex is the following, is that there's another notion of what's called a mavui. A mavui in general, in the Gemara, is understood to be a common area, so to speak, almost an alleyway, which is connected to various chatzeros. But it may be actually one of the constructs that we're going to have to deal with in terms of our backyard. Why? Take a look at this. The Rambam says, Hayach matirin mavui asosim. Let's say I have a area, a common area, which is now closed off on three sides. I need to make a lechi, which is a side post, a door post on one side, or a kura, or a plank across the top, and that should be sufficient. It's like you closed off that fourth open side. It will make it into a private domain. I'm allowed to move in all of that area. Really, midin Torah, if I have three walls and the fourth one open, that's fine. The Rabbanon said, on the fourth side, I need to have some sort of heker, some sort of ability to close it off, and that would be elechi. The way it's actually brought in Shulchan Aruch is clearly, this is very much like our backyards. Chotzer, let's say I have a yard, that's my backyard. Shinifratz bimiluyoy al ad eser amos. I have a gap in my backyard, so my one side of my backyard is open to another yard, to the back of my property is on another road, right? It's open, and the gap is less than 10 amos, it's less than 15 feet. Nitar bapas rochav dalet tvachim. I can put a four tefach, a 13-inch, piece of wood there. Aj mitzad echad b'makom aparutz. V'miyirtz l'atakna b'shnei tzidei apirtz. Adai b'shnei pasin shel shtei mashuhim. But if I don't have that we'll call that board of four tefachim of 13 inches, I can now save that space by having a lechi on either side, a small, so to speak, door frame. It could be a very thin, very small heker on either side to frame it as a door space as opposed to a breakage in my mechitza. So therefore, says the Rambam, this is the Shulchan Aruch over here, if I have a chaser, so let's talk about backyards, and I have, as an example, one side is a fence, the other side is a fence, but the third side is the house, which is acting as the fence. But on the fourth side, I have gaps. I have a tree, I have a bush, I have another tree, I have a little bit of a fence that was there from the times beforehand with chicken, with some chicken fence, right? So what am I supposed to do? So I've got to start measuring. If it's up till 15 feet, so up till 10 amos, if the gap is more than 4 tvachim, so it's more than 13 inches. If it's below 13 inches, that's 4 tvachim, no problem, that's considered still connected. Right, it's still part of the mechitza. But if it is now between 4 tvachim and 10 amos, so between 13 inches and 15 feet, I would need to either have a daf shel dalad tvachim, a small wooden barrier to indicate that this is closed, or I would need to put a lechi on either side. This lechi over here can be anything, it can be very insubstantial. So on Friday, one of the examples I was doing in one of the videos with in the Eisen's yard was they bought these very simple, green sticks. As long as they're 10 tefachim high, you drive them into the ground, there's still 10 tefachim sticking out on either side. It indicates that the gap between this tree and this high bush is ultimately not a breakage in your mechitza. It is, in fact, a doorway. You're circumscribing it as a doorway, so now it does not create a breakage to your mechitza, as an example. What can it be made of? So the Rambam says, "Bakol oisim lechayayim, afilu b'dov sheyesh b'ruachayim, afilu b'yisrayana." Can make it out of anything, right? It can be very insubstantial. It can even be, it says, "Rachboy v'avyo kol shehu." It can be the thickness of the smallest amount. It really is less substantial. How big a gap is it? So we talked about the Rishon Rav says, "Mavu she'ein rach by gimel tvachim and sarech shum tikkun." If I have a gap of 4 tvachim, not to be confused with lavud. Lavud is the amount of space between, let's say, different pieces of the fence or between the ground and the fence. Here we're talking about, let's have a gap. So I have, as an example, this is an example which is discussed, is let's say I have a row of trees, and assuming that the row of trees, the leaves start from, let's say, 3 tvachim to the ground, and I have a gap between these trees to the next group of trees. So if that's below 15 feet, it's smaller than 15 feet, I can drive into the ground a stake on either side, right next to the trees. I've now defined that halachically as a doorway, not a breakage, and I'm able to use my yard if that was the only breakage, right? That would be an example. So what happens if it's bigger than 15 feet? What happens if now my gap is not going to be sufficient? It's not like a movi where I can put a lechi on either side, a lecho yayim. So in this case, we need what's called Tzura HaPesach. What is a Tzura HaPesach? Tzura literally means an image or a picture of. Pesach is an entrance. What does that mean? The Rambam explains. Tzura HaPesach ha'amura b'chol makom. He afilu kona v'kayetze b'boy mikan, v'kona mikan. It's a pole on one side, a pole on the other side, v'kone al gabehem. And it is another pole on top of them. Goy v'ashne alechayayim. Each of the we'll call it the doorpost poles, is asara tvachim or yeser? It has to be 10 tvachim higher. Va'akone va'kayotze boy shal gabayim avo bishen onogeh b'shnei alachayim. And actually, the lintel does not need to be directly on them. It has to be above them, but it does not have to be actually touching them. So a lot of cases where this actually applies itself is when they're setting up the eruv for this. What we're dealing with over here is rishus hayachid, how you make your own yard, rishus hayachid, not an eruv. But let's say I'm dealing with an eruv of the whole area. So a lot of times they will use the utility poles to create the form of a Tzura HaPesach. And so that only works if the wire actually runs above the pole itself, because it's not kosher if it's on the side. So most of the wires are disqualified. But let's say that the wire does not run above, and that's the only utility pole I can use. A lot of times either they'll put up another pole, either with its own wire, or they'll run the pole directly under the wire, which is very risky, because that's very easy to change. But that would be sufficient even if it's not touching it as well. He says, "Elo sheyesh b'neim kama amos hoyil v'goyva alachayim asara." Even as long as each doorpost is 10 tefachim high, it's 36 inches high, zutzuras haPesach. And the Rambam adds a very important rule here: "Vutzuras haPesach she'amru tzricho she'tahei b'ria lekabel deles afilu deles shel kash." This doorpost, the system, needs to be sufficiently strong to be able to hold a deles shel kash. Even, let's say, a door, which could swing open and close on it, which is made of straw. Now, a straw door is not very heavy, but it still needs to be substantial enough, which means if my gap is between 4 tvachim and 10 amos, so it's between 13 inches and 36 and 15 feet, then I can have a lechi on either side of that gap in my private domain. I drive a stake in here, a stake here. How big does the stake have to be? Really insubstantial. Could even be, those little bamboo shoots which you use to support your tomato bushes in the back. That's sufficient for a lechi. But let's see, the gap between those trees, the gap between the fence and the house on the side, is more than 15 feet. In that case, I would now need a Tzuras HaPesach. But for the Tzuras HaPesach, it's not sufficient to use an id substantial steak. That's not good enough. In this case now, I would need to have a stake, let's say a 2x4, which I can drive into the ground, that could actually not only have the wire on top of it to the next stake, which creates the image of the door, but it actually also needs to be able to, that if I were to put hinges on the one of them or both of them with a very light door, it would be able to hold it up. That is important because it's not any little piece of, you know, throw away wood, which would be sufficient for a Tzuras HaPesach now. That's a very important distinction. Between a lechi and a Tzuras HaPesach. Also, it's important to notice, as Rabbi Ribiat points out, he has got an excellent, Rabbi Ribiat goes through every detail and permutation in his book, The 39 Melachas, and he points out that it's important to realize that actually, in definition, a lechi does not, if you, let's say I have a smaller gap, I have a 5-foot gap between a bush and a tree. I can put a lechi on either side, and I've now defined this as an entranceway. It's not a breakage. That only works if, in total, that whole area over that side, in that side of the house, sum total of porots is less than the oimed, which means that if I were to add up all the bushes and the trees and the partial fences, there would be more of that than there would be gaps. That's when a lechi can work. And it also only works when each of those gaps is not bigger than 15 feet. When I create a Tzuras HaPesach, let's say it is a gap bigger than 15 feet, or I use a Tzuras HaPesach anyway, that Tzuras HaPesach is viewed as if it's closed. It's viewed as if that area is closed, and therefore, even if that area, that side, is in a certain sense completely open, except for the Tzuras HaPesach, that would be sufficient for the Tzuras HaPesach to operate. It is worthwhile noting, by the way, that there is a chumrah on this, and this is why Eruvin is a very complex area. The Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Samech Beis Siv Yud, I didn't have a chance to put this in, Rambam says you can't use a Tzuras HaPesach as a way to wall off one side unless that side already has more actual physical boundary than it has opening. That's a very, very complicated thing to achieve in a community Eruv. Just to be aware of this. Rav Shechter holds of this Rambam, and every time when we learned Hilchos Eruvin with Rav Shechter many, many years ago, the end of when we went through the sugya, he would take us for a walk through the Washington Heights Eruv. And that's a very complex thing to achieve, this Rambam, which is why there are many people who are hesitant about community Eruvin, based on the fact that a Tzuras HaPesach can only operate if the rest of it is, in fact, is closed off, which means to say that you're using real barriers, real physical barriers, and happens to be, just across the street and using a Tzuras HaPesach, but the rest of it's barriers. That's something worthwhile pausing before, but that we're not dealing with that. We're dealing with a yard, yeah. Okay, a few points also for the Tzuras HaPesach, just some important points. It can't be from the side, which means to say that Shulchan Aruch says, I cannot have it that I tie a stake here, and I tie the string around by the top. It can't be like that. If you're setting up an Eruv, you need a hammer, a nail in the top, and tie it around the nail so that, in fact, the wire or that very thick string is, in fact, above the actual lechi itself, is above the door frame. It has to be 10 tefachim tall. We saw before. It can't sag. So, as an example, the Mishnah Berurah says, "Konesh al gabei al gabon nihid tzorich lizor shlo yinata al yedei aruach, aval I aruach yinidenu ein bekach klum." Dikar mechitzah tole b'shnei akonim amdim min atzad. So the Mishnah Berurah says that really the most important part of a Tzuras HaPesach are the side frames, not the top. So therefore, even if the top waves in the wind a little bit, it's fine. But he says, "Yesh me'achronim shemach mirmus." The Mishnah Berurah says there are those who are machmir for this. Ulididhu b'she'ois in the erev al yidei chevel tzorich lemat choy b'choyze kadei shlo yanidoi haroach. It needs to be very taut so the wind can't blow, so it won't sag, which is very complicated. When people are making homemade eruvin, not so simple. People don't do this right. They just sort of tie it over here. They tie it around the top of the pole, and that's not a kosher eruv. It doesn't work. And the Mishnah Berurah says because there's many achronim who are machmir. It has to be al gabeim, and it needs to also be that it's not going to sway or sag in any way. Also proximity. The Shulchan Aruch says irchiku me'akos shalosh. Oy shigbiu me'arit shalosh pasul v'im higbiu pachos me'shalosha shalosh av bishen boy ela sheva mashu kosher. The Shulchan Aruch says that the lechi, the side posts of the Tzuras HaPesach, need to be within 3 tefachim of the ground itself. You can't start a lechi halfway up. You can't have it attached to the house on halfway up. It needs to be very clearly attached to the ground. So therefore, when it comes to thinking about one's backyard as an example, the front yard is a lost cause in America, right? So because it's just a lawn. You cannot carry in front of your lawn. What about your porch? You have steps up. Well, it depends. If it has a railing which is higher than 10 tefachim all the way around, and then you make a lechi on either side of the entrance part, that's fine. If it has no railing but it's 10 tefachim high, right, and so the sides are 10 tefachim high, that might create its own domain. But most times it's not like that. Most porches are 2 steps high. 2 steps high is not considered a domain, a rishus hayachid by itself. So therefore, if one would not be in an eruv, one would not be able to leave the key under the mat. Doesn't make a difference if there's an overhang above it as well. That's actually an interesting discussion. Maybe there must be a tzuras haPesach around the porch. That might be an interesting discussion in and of itself. But what about the back of the house? So let's say I have a fence around the total of my back of the house and along the sides. That's fine. But now along the sides of the house, I need to actually put a lechi by the side of my house and by the fence itself to actually define where it is that the entranceway is between the house and the fence on either side. So it's not just enough to have a fence. I need to have a lechi next to the house, a lechi next to the fence. That's defined my doorways. Now the rest of the back of the house and the side of the house is sufficient. If I have gaps in this, so let's say I have a fence only on one side and there's bushes on the other side, you have to be very careful. You need, in theory, to be able to have a up to 10 tefach barrier, which means to say up to 36 inches high, and I cannot have any gaps of more than essentially 4 tefachim, right? And from the ground, the branches or the barrier needs to be within 3 tefachim of the ground, but let's say there's a gap here, a gap there. If as long as it's not more than 4 tefachim for the sake of this mechitza, that's sufficient. If it's bigger than 4 tefachim, I need to have a lechi on either side. So I have a bush and a bush. I have large bushes. I have 2 hedges. And there's a gap between the two of them. And the gap is, let's say, 5 feet. I would have to have a lechi on the one side, a lechi on the other side, within 3 tefachim of each of the sides to create that entranceway. If it's bigger than 15 feet, I would need to now create a tzuras haPesach. How do I do that? I would to wedge in some more significant 2x4s into the ground on either side, and I would place that to be 10 tefachim high, and I would need to put a taut rope from one side to the other. So I think that just the important lesson learned is that a backyard by itself does not mean, because I own it and I have the title deed to it, does not mean I can walk in it and carry in it necessarily. Is important, which is, as an interesting point, you know, people make fun of people who live in South Africa, you know, so I grew up in this kind of environment here where you have, you know, a wall, and then on the wall there's spikes, and above the spikes there's a fence, and above the fence there's barbed wire. So people say, how can you live like that? Well, the answer is when the Erev goes down on Shabbos, we can all carry on our properties, because this is a mechitza l'kol davar. So in South Africa, as much as people make fun of living in South Africa, nonetheless, it actually is very much similar for Eruvim, because your front yard actually becomes part of the Yerusha Zayachid. Which is, by the way, not necessarily making a political statement, but in the end of the day, when it comes to walls do make it a lot easier in terms of understanding and appreciating the Rosh Hashayachid itself. This is important to appreciate, that were every property to have its own fence and its own wall, that would be sufficient to be a Shusarayachid. We live in a blessed place, a blessed country called America, which is still to this day mostly safe. Which means to say that, therefore, it creates more complexity on the sides of when it comes to mechitzos and Rosh Hashayachid, which is something to bear in mind. If this Shabbos did nothing for us except for to wake us up to the complexities and the significance of the Eruv, I think it's worthwhile taking a look around our own house, our porch, our backyard, and appreciating some of those different circumstances necessary to be able to create Rosh Hashayachid. So with this, we're going to stop today. Any questions? Obviously, there's many questions.